Morning, prayer warriors. Hey, Mark here. It's another beautiful day here in southern Idaho, in fact, and a little bit windy, but it's going to be a great day. Every day is a great day to be in God's kingdom. But let's go ahead and just open up in just a quick word of prayer, just as we come to know God a little bit more today. And dear Lord, just thank you. Thank you for just loving us, just allowing us these freedoms just to pray and praise your name, to worship you. Just guide us this day and the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, anyway, hey, just for the next couple of weeks, you know, we look at the Old Testament, and we just have some amazing, you know, prayer warriors out there that we've been kind of studying. You know, we've talked about Joshua, we've seen Hannah, you know, Deborah, New Testament. You know, we've got the Timothys and the Pauls, we've got the Johns, just amazing prayer warriors. And sometimes, you know, we kind of have to step back and say, hey, how have those people and God's Word impacted us? And those around us. And I just want to share just a couple of stories in the upcoming weeks about some amazing prayer warriors. And, you know, and it's really because, you know, Paul writes there in 1 Thessalonians, it's kind of one of those great verses that we really need to keep in our hearts. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. And remember, Paul is writing to those people, those Christians up in Thessalonica. You know, it's up above Athens quite a ways. But he says something very, very simple in these two verses. Five words. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And that's really what's happened with a couple of these modern-day prayer warriors, relatively modern-day that we'll kind of take a look at. And the first one, what I want to do is we'll cover this young boy. And this gentleman's life parallels a lot of ours, and we can so learn from his life. And he was born back in the 1700s and, you know, in London. You know, London was kind of a dirty city at the time, big shipping port, big slavery trade, going in and out of London. His dad was a sea captain, and his mom was ill. His mom had tuberculosis, and TB in those days was really a kiss of death. You weren't going to recover, and you would hear somebody coughing and all night long and getting weaker and weaker. And this young boy at the age of 7, his mom died. Dad's at sea. He's kind of turned loose, you know, he's not going to elementary school and doesn't have a future going to high school. And so he's just kind of lost. And although his mom was a strong Christian, you know, he kind of turned from his ways. And by the time he was 11, his dad said, hey, you're just running wild out there. You're coming to sea with me. You're going to be, you know, one of the guys on the ship, you know, just a cabin boy. And he continued his ways. And at the age of 18, this kid, you know, he's rebelling. He's rebelling. So take a look at some of the young men in our lives. Take a look at our own lives. You know, were we rebellious when we were 7? If we lost our mother by the time we were 18, were we rebellious? Had we given up on God? Had we turned our backs on God by the age of 18? Many of us did. Many of us have. But at the age of 18, the British Navy essentially picked him up, put him on a ship, and said, hey, you are, you know, now a sailor. Well, he didn't like that one bit because of his rebellious nature. He's turned his back on God, and he tried to even desert. He was the worst sailor in the entire Navy. And in fact, they wound up kicking him out. He saw the dollars in the slave trade, so he went over to some of the slave ships, but he was so mean and nasty and swore at everybody, to include the ship's captain. After a couple of years of that, his last ship's captain sold him into slavery in Africa. Found a princess who they'd been dealing with, and he sold this kid into slavery. So finally, he's into slavery, you know, in West Africa. And another ship captain that he knew had come to port, and he said, take me home. So at the age of 23, he's on a sailing ship going back up towards England off the coast of Ireland. They run into this huge storm. The cargo's rocking back and forth. The ship springs a leak. The ship is sinking. And this young man says, God save us. God save me. And a miracle happened. Some of the cargo shifted, plugged the hole, and the ship was saved, and they were able to limp into port. Three easy words. God save me. And God reached down there and had, he knows the potential that we have. And this young boy, now 23 years old, who turned his back on God, is kind of walking that middle road. He's got one foot in God's camp, and he's got one foot still back in the slave trade because it's easy money. And we know young men like that. We were probably like that. We know young women like this, a foot in both camps, all the way from no foot in anybody's camp except their own camp to one in each camp. And suddenly, here he is. He's got one foot in both camps. He's still in the slave trade, and they promote him to captain. He's running slaves back over to the West Indies, but he still has this heart for God. And every March 10th, for the rest of his life, on that day that he was saved on that sinking ship, he dedicated it to a day of prayer. Well, for between the ages of 23 and 30, you know, he was still out there, and but at the age of 30, he took ill. He could no longer be a sea captain, and he came ashore. And he married a young woman named Mary that he had known most of his life, and they were in a small town called Olney. O-L-N-E-Y. And he started a little church there, and more people came, and more people came, and more people came, and he got firmly in God's word, and he started, he became an anti-slavery activist. And he became friends with some politicians in London. And one of the big politicians, one of the anti-slavery politicians, a guy named Wilberforce. And Wilberforce actually wanted to get out of politics and get into preaching. But, you know, this young man said, no, God's calling you to be a politician to end slavery. Well, this young man started writing and singing, and he wrote hymns. He wrote a number of poets, and his name is John Newton, and he wrote 260 hymns. And the most important one that he ever wrote in my life was called Amazing Grace. And I just want to read you those words that he wrote down. John Newton wrote, after such a broken life, he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Yes, grace has saved us. Prayer saves us. Three simple words, God save me. I just want to leave that with you, along with, let's just remember what Paul wrote to those in Thessalonica, there in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Thank you, prayer warriors. Have an amazing week. And may God bless you richly.